Welcome to Transformed by the Word, a podcast about discovering how to live your life with gratifying purpose. God created you for a reason, and the Bible contains the keys to unlock your transformed life. Now, here's your host, Deborah Barr.
Thanks for joining me for episode 20 of Transformed by the Word. When the Word of God transforms a person's life, sometimes they're willing to give up whatever modern conveniences that they enjoy and go anywhere in the world that God directs them to serve others. Today, I've invited a very special guest to the show, someone who takes to heart Jesus' command to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that He commanded. Her name is Jasmine Earle, and she's a missionary with Overland Missions. The main goal of Overland Missions is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the most remote people in the most forgotten places on earth. Jasmine developed a heart for foreign missions after she went on her very first trip to Costa Rica in 2013. About 2 years ago, when she was in Zambia for the first time, the Lord really confirmed her calling to go to the nations. As an expedition leader, she spends about half of the year in the United States and the other half overseas. While stateside, she has the privilege of inviting people to come and see what God is doing in the nations on 2-week mission trips, which are called expeditions. Then, when she is overseas, she leads those expeditions into remote villages in Africa in the countries of Zambia and Zanzibar. This past expedition season, Jasmine and the other missionaries in the expedition saw 380 people give their lives to Jesus. 60 people were miraculously healed, and 10 people were delivered from demonic oppression. Jasmine will share some of her stories with us about her expedition trips. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment. Jasmine, I am so glad that you're able to join me today.
Yeah, I'm so excited and honored to be a guest on here today.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years since I've got to see you in person. I've been so blessed to read your newsletter and follow how God is doing such amazing things in and through your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just thinking today, it's been about 2 years since we've seen each other.
I believe so, yes. So where are you headed next?
Yeah, I am actually headed to a part of the Middle East in North Africa. I'm going with my team to do a reconnaissance trip, is what we call it, which is basically scouting out the land and seeing what it would be like to do ministry there.
Oh, that's amazing. So can you just share with us what inspired you to devote your entire life to this overseas mission work?
So for those of you who don't know, you knew my mom.
Yes, I did.
But I feel like I have to start there. For those of you who don't know, she could never go anywhere without somebody knowing her. You know, my grandfather called her the mayor. Basically, everybody knew her, or she was making a friend somewhere that she went. And she just loved people so genuinely. And it was actually after she passed away in 2012, I came across a Francis Chan quote. It's actually up in my room. It says, "Do you know that nothing you do in this life will ever matter unless it is about loving God and loving the people he has made?" And I mean, that's the first and second greatest commandment. But, you know, that really struck me. And I said, you know, I want to make my life matter. And so in 2013, a year after she passed away, I went on my first abroad mission trip to Costa Rica. And then it wasn't until 2017 that I went on my first trip to Africa. And that was where I really saw the word of God come alive. I saw people healed. I saw people set free from demonic oppression. I saw people saved, people that had never even heard the gospel before. And so that really, I was like, this has to be a big part of my life.
Wow. Tell us about your salvation experience. I mean, when did you come to know the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yeah, it was actually with my mom. One night before bed, I was really young. I was probably about 4 or 5. And, I prayed and asked Jesus to be come into my life, be the Lord of my life. One night before bed. But it probably wasn't until my freshman year of high school that I was really like, this is the real thing. And I remember it was a moment in my life where I chose God over something, just something trivial. But at that moment, he became so real. And it was just, that was the start, I would say, of my relationship and walking with the Lord.
Wow. So how has your life, besides initial salvation, I mean, how has your personal life been transformed by God's word?
I think first and foremost, it's been transformed because the word of God cultivates intimacy with my Father. Like when I read it, it shows me his character. And so it says that he's kind, and I've seen him as kind. It says that he's the great comforter. And I've seen him as that in my life. And it says that he's loving and all of these things and shows me his character. But then it turns around and it shows me who I am. And that has radically changed my life. I remember in 2018, when I went for my missions training, this was when the revelation really hit me of my identity in Christ. And, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Everyone in Christ is a new creation. And that truth radically changed everything, where I realized, I can't claim that I'm a sinner saved by grace. I used to be a sinner. Now it says I'm the righteousness of Christ, and that is who I am. And so walking forward in that has completely shifted how I'm able to approach situations, whether it's in America or whether it's in Africa. And then I think lastly, it becomes my new reality. It shapes everything, because that's the lens that I'm seeing everything through. And so it doesn't matter what I can actually see with my physical eyes, but it's what the word of God says. And so whether it's for financial provision or healing or freedom, it's all addressed in his word. And so I get to choose whether I'm walking in that or whether I'm not. And I just, I don't think it's like a name it and claim it type thing, but I do think that I want my confession to match what he's revealed his character to be in the word of God. And so, yeah.
What a powerful way to live your life, with the Holy Spirit fully working in and through your life and truly believing everything that we see in God's word is really, really true. It's not just something other people wrote about many, many years ago. It's a living and alive today.
Yeah.
Can you share with us some of the amazing stories? I've heard some of them, but some of the stories about how your life has been able to impact other people in these places where people never had access to the gospel, and What kinds of things have you seen that just would really encourage someone today to know how true God's word is?
Right. I first want to start off this question by saying people that we're discipling in these third world countries or wherever it is, they are absolutely winning because they are reading, they're saying, oh, this is what the word of God says. Okay, this must be true. Like there are multiple ministry partners that we have that have prayed for the dead to come back to life and they've come back to life.
Wow.
Because they see it in the word of God and they're like,
they truly believe it.
Yeah. And it's so incredible just to see that. But I think of, you know, I think the first story that comes to mind of someone's life that was transformed by the word of God was a woman that we met in one of the villages, and we got to her house. And she actually ran away when we got there. And, you know, we were kind of confused, but we sat with her family. And then when she came back, she sat through and listened to everything. And then afterwards, she said, you know, I was in the field and something told me inside to come back. And so she came back. We shared the gospel with her. She prayed and received salvation. She actually, you know, was fighting some demonic oppression, and we prayed for freedom and declared freedom in the name of Jesus, and she was set free. And then afterwards, I taught her Galatians 5:1, and I have a video of her on my phone where she's kind of, you know, quoting that scripture in her native language, and it was absolutely incredible. Then I saw her the next day at a soccer game, and she walked up to me and she was like, I want to tell you something. You know, I went to church for the first time in 2 years, and I was able to stay through the entire service without anything happening spiritually, without anything rising up in her spiritually. And it was just like the most beautiful thing that her life was transformed by that piece of the scripture, and just being able to stand on freedom in Christ. And I told her, you know, the enemy's going to come back and he's going to try to convince you that you're not free, but you are, and you claim, you know, you quote it, you stand on the word of God and you stand on the truth. And so, I mean, there are so many stories like that. I don't know how many you want me to share.
As many as you'd like, because yeah. It's so encouraging to know how powerful God's word is. And when people truly believe it, they get free, whether it's physical healing, it's spiritual healing, it's please share with us some more.
Right. That's so true. I think of there was a baby that we actually, like, the next story is about a little baby who, when we walked up to her house, she wasn't even able to crawl. All she could do was kind of scoot herself on her bottom. And so I wasn't there on the first day, but others in my team were. And so they shared the gospel with the parents and they encouraged the parents. And they prayed for healing for the little baby, and nothing happened. But they said, no, we believe God wants to heal your little girl. And so you continue speaking life over her, continue declaring the word of God, and healing over her. And let that be your confession. And then, you know, they left. And then I came back the next day, and I was with another person that had been there the day before. And we walked up to the house, and the little girl is walking up to us, holding her mom's hand.
Oh, wow.
And I almost want to cry, like, thinking about it, because it was, you know, how many times do we get discouraged when we don't see the miracle right away?
Yeah.
And we're like, maybe God doesn't want to do it for me, but instead standing in firm in your faith that no, I believe that in the same way that Jesus paid for my sin on the cross, he paid for all the effects of my sin. And so let me stand in this, and let me speak life over it. And it was just, it was so beautiful. And then the neighbor actually saw, and he comes over and he said, I have never seen her walk before. Would you please pray for me? Like, I have this.
Wow.
And so,
yeah. We even see those kinds of healings in the Bible. I mean, sometimes it doesn't happen right away. Sometimes it's a progressive thing.
Right. And so it's standing firm in that. No, I believe that whenever God wants to do it or however he wants to do it, that he's going to do it, because the word is so clear. Mark 16, it talks about, I just want to read it because it's, 17 through 20 says, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think you're seeing these miraculous things overseas and maybe we don't see that so much here in the USA?
Right. I feel like this is one of the most common questions, or this is a conversation that I have a lot. And I have a picture on my vision board for this year because I want to see it in the same degree and the same measure here in the US. And so the picture on my vision board is actually the continent of Africa with the American flag inside of it, because I want my ministry in the US and my ministry in Africa just to be seamless. And so I think about it and I wrestle with it a lot. But I think one thing personally, which I, this is completely on me, is that when I'm in Africa and somebody sits across from me and they tell me, I have back pain or I have shoulder pain, it would almost be, you will never find me saying, oh, okay, like I'll pray for you later and walking away.
Yeah.
It's always the immediate. I believe in a God who heals. And that he wants to heal you. Can I pray for you right now? And how many times in America I'll just say myself, somebody tells me that, oh, like, I'm so sorry to hear that. I'll definitely be praying for you.
Or here's a prescription or
right. Are you going to go see the doctor? Exactly. And it's nothing against doctors and it's nothing against medicine, but it's that where is my faith and where is my action? Because I do hear about healing ministries in the US when they're actually putting the word of God not to the test, but they're actually just walking in the truth of what the word says and seeing people healed and seeing people set free from demonic oppression and all of these things. But I think it's the willingness to be almost authentic or just, yeah, actually go after and pursue the things of God fully.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm sure there's other reasons, but that's kind of been my latest.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always wondered that because it seems like, I don't know if it's the people have a more pure faith, maybe in other places that are just hearing the gospel for the first time versus... Right. Kind of growing up in the church and thinking you know everything about God already.
Yeah. It's definitely a potential because I know I can speak for Zambia. They have a greater awareness of the spiritual. Whereas in America, everybody just believes it's all that I can see. What I see is what I get. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. just that. And over there, they're going and seeing witch doctors for healing, and they're going to all of these other spiritual sources, even just for emotional healing. Whereas here, for emotional healing, we just buy something, right. So I think that definitely could play into it.
Yeah. I got a question. What about language barriers? Do you have translators when you go to these countries and these places, or how does that work? How do you actually communicate with people that don't speak English?
Yeah. We always have translators with us wherever we go, but they're actually the translators that we have are people that our missionaries on the ground have met and have discipled to the point where, they've been actually doing it probably longer than I have. And so we actually have started calling them ministry partners because they are incredible ministers of the word of God. even in Zanzibar, I know we have some ministry partners, and I look at them because it's an over 90% Muslim island. And I'll be actually going back there this year. But I look at one of our, our ministry partners that are native to Zanzibar, and I say, listen, I don't know how to answer this question about Muhammad or whatever. Would you take it? And I fully trust them because they're incredible ministers. So,
That's amazing. That's amazing. Have you gone back to like the same villages that you visited before? And are you seeing like continual growth in the people that you were able to witness to and minister when you come back and see them again?
Right. So before this year, I would have had to say no, because the way that our organization works is I'm in expeditions, which expeditions is kind of our spearheading into a village. So typically I lead short-term 2-week trips into remote villages in Africa. And then after I leave and after the team that's with me leaves, the missionaries that are living overseas full-time will go back into that village. And they're the ones that start Bible studies, discipleship, and they start training up indigenous leaders, because our goal is to train up an indigenous leader to the point where they can steward the move of God in that area. And it's actually really cool because this year, two of the villages I'm going back into, I'm working with indigenous leaders. So it's not even our American missionaries, it's indigenous Zambian leaders. But this year, I actually got to go back into some villages that I had been previously because of everything that COVID shifted around. We actually didn't lead teams into new village, or we didn't lead teams into new villages, but I got to go back and follow up and see some of the people that I ministered to with the missionaries on the ground. And it was so special, because I don't usually get to do that in expeditions. I'm usually just focused on evangelism. So
that was a blessing.
It was so sweet. So I have some pictures of people like from a year ago and then today or this year. And so it was so great.
Do you see yourself doing this for years and years to come?
I do. I had somebody ask me that the other day, and it really is. We say in our organizations, it's the dream job. And it really is. I can't see myself. I can't imagine myself doing anything else. And so it's been a wild journey the past 2 years, but it's been so, so fun and so fulfilling. So
yeah. That's amazing. If somebody who's listening to our podcast today is inspired to maybe explore the possibility of becoming a missionary, or they just want to support you personally, how can they connect with you?
That is a great question. So if they want to explore the possibility of becoming a missionary, or if they want to donate towards my missions work, everything can be found on overlandmissions.com. But I would be happy to connect with them personally. And so they can have, you know, I can give my email address, I can give my phone number, whatever it is that you think would be helpful. But if they want to look into the places or the countries that we lead trips to, overlandmissions.com has all of the countries that we're leading trips to. And then if they wanted to support, there's a link that says donate. Mm-hmm. And all they have to do is put my name in the donation memo box.
Okay. And if you don't mind, just share your email address. Somebody may want to write it down and reach out to you.
Yeah, it's very simple. It's jasmine@overlandmissions.com. So it's JASMIN. There's no E on the end. If you put an E, it won't get to me.
It won't go there.
Yes.
Well, that's wonderful. You've been a blessing today, just sharing part of your life with us. And I'm just so pleased to see everything that you've been doing. I love getting your newsletters and hearing about your expeditions and your impact on the kingdom of God. And I know your mom would be so proud of you.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor and a privilege just being able to partner with God in this way. And I'm excited to see what's to come.
Yeah. Before I let you go, would you pray for our listening audience?
Yeah, absolutely. God, we just love you so much. God, we thank you for your heart for people. We thank you that your heart is for every person to come to know you, to be in relationship with you. And God, I thank you that whoever's listening today, whoever's on the other sound of my voice, Lord, that you have people for them in their sphere of influence to touch, to impact, and to love with the love that you give. And so, God, I ask that you would just, that you would open our eyes to show us every day who it is that you've put in our path, who it is that you want us to love on. God, I just ask that you would stir in anyone's heart that is unsure. God, that you would stir in their heart for the nations, Lord. If there's even a slight desire, Lord, that you would fan that into flame and that they would explore further possibilities, that they might come on a two-week trip, or God, that you would just speak to them and give them direction. Because God, you're so worthy. You're worthy of our life. You're worthy of every decision, of every breath, of every place that we go to. And so, God, we trust you. We commit our lives to you. And there's no one we'd rather partner with. There's nothing we'd rather do than serve you. In Jesus' name.
And Lord, I pray a blessing over Jasmine's life. And I just pray that you continue to keep her safe, God, that you continue to show yourself mighty and strong in and through her life, and that you go before her and behind her, and Lord, just continue to bless her and her team members as they continue to serve you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break. We just heard from Jasmine Earle, a missionary whose life has been completely transformed by God. She has personally witnessed the power of God working in the lives of people as they believe with their whole heart that what God says in His Word is true. Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." If you have an interest in learning more about serving as a missionary or in supporting the work that Jasmine does, you can email her at jasmine@overlandmissions.com. She is fulfilling the plans and the purposes that God had for her life, and it all began when she surrendered her life to the Lordship of Jesus. If you have never surrendered your life to Him, you can do that right now. It is by faith that we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And if you are ready to place your trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ and receive the forgiveness of sins, you can pray this prayer with me right now. God, I confess that I'm a sinner and I need Jesus in my life. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He was buried and rose from the dead. I accept this by faith. And I invite Jesus to be Lord of my life, to reign and rule in my heart. Thank you, God, for forgiving me and saving me. Amen. If you just made a decision for Christ, I would love to hear from you. Please visit my website at tbtwpodcast.com and click the link letting me know that you made a decision for Christ today so that I can encourage you and support you with the next steps in your faith. My prayer for you today is that you will ask the Lord if you are currently doing what He created you for, and that you will surrender your will to Him and allow Him to fully direct your life. Who knows? He might have a great adventure awaiting for you on the other side of your yes to His will and His way. Stay tuned for our next episode of Transformed by the Word, where we will be discussing the Holy Spirit's power for personal healing.
Thank you for listening to Transformed by the Word with your host, Deborah Barr. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Google Play and connect with us at tbtwpodcast.com. Until next time, be blessed.